Lord Jesus, help us to remember your new commandment to love one another, love our neighbors as ourselves. And Lord, as we hear these words this morning, I pray that they may be not my words, but yours. And I pray that you will give us an understanding, even in the midst of tough times and tough words that we hear, that you still love us and that you want all to come to you. So now, Holy Spirit, come and invade this place. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. I saw some heads on swivels. Guess what the sermon is about today? A wedding. How many of you turned expectantly to see a bride coming down the aisle? What were your thoughts? Did you think, it's not. It's not me. Yeah, okay. I love it. Did you think if I'd known I'd worn a more formal dress? Or I'd shined my shoes? Or I wish I'd had my hair done? As I said earlier, that doesn't bother me too much. Or maybe you thought I would have worn my best suit. In other words, had you known about a wedding, would you have prepared differently? I remember so well our daughter's wedding. That was probably the most fun day I ever had in my life. It was a culmination of much planning and preparation on the parts of Sarah and Laura and others. Not so much for me, I just signed the checks. I remember so many times the question, are you ready for your wedding? Of course, the answer was different depending on who was asked. Today, I want us to think about wedding. And in the Jewish tradition of uniting two people in marriage, it was a very specific and intentional event, a formal betrothal or an engagement in our present day terms. And it was announced to everyone. On the previously established wedding day, usually a year or more after the betrothal, there would be a procession, usually at night, with the bride and all her attendants and friends and family, going to the home of the groom. And with the ceremony completed, the consummation of the marriage occurred, and that was followed by a great feast, a feast which probably may have lasted a week or more. It is within this context that we understand the scriptures for today. The scene is the wedding of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, which was planned before time, is about to occur. The father of the groom has prepared all things. A great multitude is gathered around the throne, praising and worshiping God for the gift of his salvation. And these are those of every tribe, tongue, and nation. The reign of the Lord our God causes those gathered to rejoice, exult, and give him glory. They rejoice especially because the great prostitute, Babylon, has been judged and found guilty of corrupting the earth with her immorality and the death of the servants of God. We have a Babylon today. It is an anti-Christ culture which is corrupting God's plans for marriage, sanctity of life, a reverence for our natural born gender, oppression of others, persecution of Christians, and pick a topic. Even many churches who claim to be Christian reveal their true identity when they participate in the activities of the modern day Babylon. They have sold themselves to the pleasures of evil as a prostitute would sell oneself. The Apostle Paul warned of this in his second letter to Timothy, the 4th chapter, 3rd verse. He said, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." These modern-day Babylonians are those who will be judged by fire and whose smoke will go up forever. Why talk about this in the text of in the context of a wedding? Weddings are to be joyous and happy celebrations, are they not? Yes, that's true. We talk about it, however, because we must remain as true, faithful, and chaste bride of the Lamb. We cannot cave to the pressures of our culture. We have been engaged to Jesus, who is the bridegroom. The betrothal was made by Jesus himself as he gave himself up to the pain, agony, and death on the cross for our salvation. And the Father ensured the engagement by way of his Holy Spirit, that he breathed the life of resurrection into Jesus. The bridegroom has been preparing for this wedding to his betrothed, the church. He has been calling many to follow him and get themselves ready for the wedding. He is longing for that day that he comes to rescue his bride. Where is the ceremony and the feast? Where are they being held? And who's participating? In Revelation 19:1, we heard read earlier, "After this I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude," the who, "in heaven," the where, "crying out, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God." And then continuing on, verse 4, "And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures," more of the who, "fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne," the where. And they were saying, "Amen, Hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb," another who, "has come, and his bride," the other who, "has made herself ready." And in verse 9 we read, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Not only is this a wedding and a marriage feast, but for those who get excited about seeing celebrities, listen to just a few of the names of some of those invitees whose names are mentioned in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Those who by faith longed for the promise, but not having seen it, remained true to their calling. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Moses, Ruth, Esther, David, Job, pick your favorite saint. It will truly be a family reunion. And also, the 144,000 tribes of Israel, people from the tribes of Israel, be there. How exciting this must be. See all these people to participate in this marriage supper. Of course, the bride will be present. She's made herself ready. In verse 8, we heard it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. She will be adorned with fine jewels and wear the robe of righteousness. The Apostle Paul describes the clothes that the Lamb has prepared for his bride in Ephesians 5, verses 26 and 27. Paul said that he had prepared his bride by having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Who is the bride? Paul, in his second letter to the church in Corinth, said, "I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." You, faithful Christian, are, as stated in the words of the Nicene Creed, a member of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the bride. The Book of Common Prayer in the rite of holy matrimony says, "Almighty God established the bond and covenant of marriage in creation as a sign of mystical union between Christ and his church." And later in that rite, the celebrant goes on to say, "so that husbands and wives with all the household of God might serve as holy and undefiled members of the body of Christ." If we, the church, are the bride of the Lamb, when do we know we're prepared for the wedding? Thankfully, our bridegroom has taken care of everything. We are ready to be the bride of the Lamb when by faith we wear his robe of righteousness, the one that he has so freely offered to us. So if our bridegroom has taken care of our dress, what do we have to do to be ready for the wedding? We are to keep our clothes with us and keep them clean. In the first part of the book of Revelation, it says that the bridegroom made this clear. "To the church in Sardis, Jesus said, 'Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy.'" And then in Revelation 16, 15, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." You might say, "But isn't it impossible to keep ourselves clean? Don't we sin every day?" Yes, each sin, regardless of how small or insignificant, threatens to stain us. But as we live a life of sorrow and repentance over sin, Jesus continually cleanses those spots. But we must invoke AA, admit and ask. In other words, confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. Through the word and sacrament, we stand under the shower of his cleansing love and forgiveness. But when we harden our hearts and try to hide away some secret sins, we stain ourselves and our wedding dress. Every day, we must choose to be married to Christ or be unfaithful to him. Every day, we must choose. We choose Christ or to be unfaithful to him. Often the cares of life might cloud our view of the wedding requirements so that we let our marriage opportunity slip away. The distractions and false narratives presented by our culture may cause us to toss aside our being longing for anticipation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What are we to do when confronted on every side by evil? What are we to do when tempted to pursue selfish and ill-gained wealth and status in our society? What are we to do when ridiculed for believing the Bible to be the inerrant and inspired Word of God? What are we to do when our families and friends reject us for standing in the gap for the unborn babies and the sick and the elderly? What are we to do when we are commanded by our employers or government authorities to endorse unbiblical practices of same-sex marriage and transgender ideals? What is our response when we are told that we're not current with the times and that God has evolved into a non-entity in our society? We are to stand firm. Stand firm. Through the power and grace of Jesus, we are to remain unstained from the world. We must remain loyal to the bridegroom. We must not sell ourselves to the pressures of society and culture. We must stay ready to become dressed in the bright, clean, and white linen dress which Jesus has given us. I read for you some scriptures of exhortation as you consider this. From Ephesians 6, 10 and following, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." And in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he said, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." And Philippians 1:27, Paul said to the church, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." We, Christ Church, are to stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Take heart. Stand firm. I read for you some encouraging and dynamic words from Charles Spurgeon, great preacher of the late 19th century. If I could preach like this, I wouldn't be here. I quote, "There will come a time when all God's redeemed shall be saved. There will come a day when all who have died shall have been raised again from the tomb. And those who remain alive shall have been changed, so that their corruption shall have put on incorruption, and mortality shall have put on immortality. Then will the church be perfect and complete. No one member will be missing. There will be no spot or wrinkle remaining in her. Then it shall come to pass that Christ will celebrate this marriage supper, which will be the bringing of the people of God into the closest and happiest union with Christ their Lord in glory. Even now the Lord Jesus Christ is no stranger to some of us, and we are not strangers to him. Yet there shall come a day when we shall see him face to face, and then we shall know him with a clearer and fuller knowledge than is possible to us today. What that bliss will be, I cannot tell. Oh, the ineffable brightness when we shall see the face of Jesus. Oh, the unspeakable sweetness when we shall hear his voice. Oh, the amazing bliss when he shall manifest himself to us in all his glory. And there will come such a day for all who he has redeemed, for all who trust him and rest in his atoning sacrifice. That will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. That feast will be, like most other marriage suppers, the fulfillment of long expectation. Our Lord has waited long for his perfected church. He espoused himself to her before ever the earth was made. But there was much to be done ere she was prepared for the marriage. The bridegroom, too, had to leave his father and become one with his bride by taking upon himself our humanity. For our sake, he did quit the thrones and royalties of heaven that he might be bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And here was he born, and here he lived, and here he died. But still the bride was not ready. And it is not till you come to this chapter that we read today. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Souls have to be saved, newly created, blood washed, sanctified, perfected, and the whole of them must be gathered to make up the body of Christ's spouse. And when that is done and she is all complete, the expectations of the Christ will be fulfilled at that marriage supper. Oh, beloved, you do not know the longings of the heart of Christ for that day of glory. For this he lived, for this he died, for this he continually pleads that all for whom he shed his precious blood might be his on that day. That day is fast coming, and when it arrives, then will be the wedding feast above. Close quote. Christ Church, you who are covered in the white dress of Jesus' holiness, please stay ready for the wedding. Stay ready for the wedding. Stand firm. Stand firm as you continue to follow Jesus. And while you're standing firm, pray for your brothers and sisters that they will stand firm. Pray for Fathers Ben and Benji and Shane that they will stand firm. Pray for our bishops that they will stand firm. Pray for me that I will stand firm. And in so doing, when you stand firm, when we stand firm, I am excited to know that I'll see you at the feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb, when our groom, Jesus Christ, comes to claim us, his bride. Amen.
Will you please stand?